Our gospel for today comes from John chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We give thanks to God for his word. You may be seated. As we transition into the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet inside. It says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a communication tool. Hopefully you hear some helpful ideas and scriptures in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear back what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that we can be praying for you and supporting you on the journey. But as we begin, I invite you to join me now in a word of prayer. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Lately, my family's been having some fun with riddles. So I thought I would share the fun with you and start the message today with a riddle. This is a what am I riddle. Let's see if you can get it. I am pronounced as one letter, but written with three. Two letters are there, and two only of me. I'm double, I'm single, I'm brown, blue, and gray. Red from both ends, I'm the same either way. What am I? Oh my goodness, you guys are so good. It took me forever. I couldn't figure this out. Did you hear that? So it's an eye like you have on your face. Does that make sense now? You guys are so fast. They did it really fast last service too. I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. I had to get help. But I thought of starting with a riddle today because the subject of our message can seem kind of like a really hard riddle. This Sunday in the traditional church calendar is Holy Trinity Sunday. It's a day in which we talk about how our God is one and our God is three. Say, what? I mean, how can that be? How can three be one and one be three? I'm sorry, I'm still rhyming. But in all seriousness, I mean, this can be really hard to understand. Yet, if we are willing to wrestle with this difficult truth, it can actually help us better understand our own lives. Because through the doctrine of the Trinity, we find answers to some really significant life questions. Like, why are we here? How are we designed to live? What are we meant to do? Thankfully, we find help in unlocking this divine riddle in our scriptures. And with the help of God's word, I'd like to explore the Holy Trinity with you today and hopefully uncover some life-giving, life-saving, life-changing answers along the way. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. It was first used by an early Christian leader by the name of Tertullian. He used it to assert that God is both one and three. And to do that, he combined the prefix tri, which means three, with the word unity, signifying oneness. He created the word triunity, or Trinity. Now, even though the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, we find evidence of the Trinity all throughout the Bible. We encounter God as both one and three. There are three distinct persons of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet these three divine persons are united together as one God. One of the best analogies that I've heard for the Trinity uses the illustration of a musical chord. Now, I love music. I studied music in college, but I don't think you have to know much about music to understand this analogy. So So we hear chords all the time when we listen to music. Are chords. In its basic form, a chord consists of three notes. So, for example, the chord C has three distinct notes: C, E, and G. But even though they are all three distinct notes, they exist together in such perfect harmony that they form one chord. And each of the notes has a unique role to play. You have one, three, five. And yet they work together perfectly for a common purpose. The one is three, and the three are one. Now, no analogy is perfect. Any analogy about God eventually is going to break down somewhere. But I think this analogy gives us a neat picture of what God is like. The three members of the Trinity, like the three notes in a chord, exist together in such perfect harmony that they form one God. In our gospel, Jesus explained that the members of the Trinity, they are united together in perfect love. They are so close, it's like one is living in the other and the other is living in them. And although the Father, Son, and the Spirit, they all have a unique role to play, they work together perfectly to accomplish a common purpose. The three is one, the one is three. Unlike the chord that I played, which started and then ended, the Bible reveals that the three members of the Trinity have always existed together in perfect harmony. C.S. Lewis makes an interesting point about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He writes, "All sorts of people are fond of repeating the Christian statement that God is love, but they seem not to notice that the words God is love have no real meaning unless God contains at least two persons. Love is something that you share with another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love." Does that make sense? In order for God to be perfect love, God has to be relational. And the opposite is true. In order for God to be relational for all eternity, God has to be perfect love. And so we know that God is Trinity because God is love. And we know that God is love because God is Trinity. What this means is that at the basic core of all reality is loving relationships. Now, here's how this connects with our lives and answers some really significant questions. We're told in the Bible that we are created in whose image? God's image. In Genesis 1:26, God is speaking about creating human beings. And God says, "Let us." Notice the plural form. "Let us." Notice the relational dynamic. "Let us make people in our image, like ourselves." This explains why all of us, deep down, have a longing for love. Why we have a desire to be in harmonious relationships with other people. Why we have a longing to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We are created in the image of God. God didn't create human beings because God needed somebody to love. God already had loving relationships. God created human beings so that we could be part of the divine community of love. Be part of relationships where, though we are different, we are united as one. Though we each have unique roles to play, we all work together to accomplish God's common purpose in our lives. God had this beautiful vision of loving relationships when God created people. But tragically, as we've seen throughout our journey through the Bible, over and over again, people have chosen to reject God's vision and act in ways that fracture our relationships with God, with others, with ourselves. This past week, I was reading the news. Maybe you saw it. There was an article entitled, "London Bridge is Falling Down." And I was devastated to hear of yet another terrorist attack, this time targeting the London Bridge. Seems like these hurtful attacks are happening more and more frequently. Unfortunately, we don't have to look to the news to find example of hurtful actions and broken relationships, do we? And we can just look right in our own lives and in our own families. I bet if we're honest, we all could think of examples when people acted in hurtful ways towards us, or we acted in hurtful ways towards others. I'll bet if we're honest, we would all admit that we have broken relationships in our lives, whether that's a broken relationship with God, with others, or with ourselves. Far too often, when we look around, we see hatred rather than love, discord rather than harmony, conflict rather than cooperation. That's the bad news. But there is good news. The same Holy Trinity who created us for loving relationships is on a mission to save us so that all people, once again, can experience God's divine community of love. And because God is one, all three members of the Trinity work together. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, we are to baptize like we baptized Samantha. We are to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The entire Trinity is involved in our salvation. And so we name the whole Trinity when we are made members of God's family through the waters of baptism. And each of the members of the Trinity have a unique role to play. We might put it like this. The Father is the source. The Son is the way. And the Spirit is the power. Imagine turning on a light bulb. The Father says, "Let there be light." The Son goes and flips the switch. And the Spirit is the electricity that powers the light bulb. The Father is the source, the Son is the way, and the Spirit is the power. And while each of them have a unique role in the Trinity, they all work together perfectly for our salvation. Let's break it down. The Father is the source of salvation. John 3:16, God loved us so much that he sent his Son to save us from our sins so that we could be brought back into a right relationship with God. The Son is the way of salvation. Jesus lovingly paid the penalty of our wrongs on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that he could obliterate anything that would ever separate us from being in a loving relationship with God and others. And then the Spirit is the power of salvation. Jesus was born through the power of the Spirit. He was baptized in the power of the Spirit. He was led by the power of the Spirit. He was raised to new life through the power of the Spirit. The Father is the source, the Son is the way, and the Spirit is the power. And as the story of Acts unfolds, we see the Trinity transforming relationships so that once again they can reflect the image of God. Just last week, we had another celebration, Pentecost, right? We read the story from Acts 2 of what happened when the Spirit came on the early church. And I know it was a long time ago, just a week, but can you remember how the community was described? They were different people, lots of different people, from lots of different walks of life, and yet they were all united together as one. They worshiped together, they learned together, they prayed together, they praised together, they ate together. Get this, every single day, they were one. And while they each had a unique role to play in the church, they worked together for the common purpose of helping those in need and spreading the good news, so that God added to their number every day those who were being saved. Now that's what I call Trinity living. And even when conflict did arise in the early church, which it did, we see the Trinity working to transform relationships so that they can reflect the image of God. For example, when the Apostle Paul encountered conflict in the Corinthian church, he used a Trinitarian blessing to refocus their community. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, he wrote, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." See how the Trinity works together to heal relationships? God the Father is the source of love. Jesus is the way of grace and forgiveness. And the Spirit is the power that holds us together in fellowship. Now, I believe that the Trinity can transform relationships because I've seen God do it in my own life. Yesterday, we hosted a marriage event, and my wife and I had the honor of being able to be one of the speakers at the event. And as I was standing there watching my wife speak with me, I had to just say, God, you're amazing. Because as we shared yesterday, my wife and I have gone through some really difficult times in our marriage. Times when we could not have felt more apart. Times when we felt like our marriage was not working. And in desperation, we turned to God for help. We looked to God the Father to be our source of love. We followed Jesus' way of grace and forgiveness. And we relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to hold us together. And what God has done in our marriage is nothing short of a miracle. To be there and to see how God has united us in marriage, and now we're working together in ministry. Just have to praise God. And many of you witnessed another example of transformation in my life. After my parents had a divorce, I was filled with a lot of bitterness and anger towards my father, and we didn't have a close relationship for many years. Interestingly, God used baptism, which we do in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to begin healing our relationship. After my dad heard that we have this baptism small group at Good Shepherd, he told me that he'd never been baptized before. I didn't know that. And this sparked a faith conversation, which eventually led to my father being baptized as an adult right here in the sanctuary. And as I poured the water on my dad's head, just like Pastor Greg poured the water on Samantha's head, I felt like God began to wash away the bitterness and the anger that was in my heart. And since then, God has been transforming our relationship so that once again, it can reflect God's divine image. Do you have any broken relationships in your life? Maybe it's with a spouse or family member. Maybe it's with someone from your school or your work. Maybe it's with somebody in this church. The same Trinity that created us for loving relationships can transform our relationships back into the image we were created. The Father is the source. The Son is the way. The Spirit is the power. If you need any prayer or support in this area, please let me know on your response card so we can walk along this journey with you. And along with transforming our relationships, the Trinity engages us in God's mission to bring more and more and more people into the divine community of love. We heard Jesus say in Acts that the Spirit will give us power to tell people everywhere about the good news to the ends of the earth. So as long as you and I know somebody who doesn't have a relationship with God, the gospel has not yet reached its final destination. And God invites us to be part of this incredible mission. I know sometimes we get a little anxious about spreading our faith, but we have to remember this is not something that we do on our own. The Father is the source, the Son is the way, the Spirit is the power. And as I read through our prayer and action guide this week, I noticed all kinds of opportunities for us to engage in Trinity living. There are opportunities to build closer relationships. Small groups are such a great way to do this. And we have a group of our college-age students who are gathering together over the summer to relax and to reconnect. There are opportunities to welcome new people into our community of faith. You might see on your prayer and action guide that we hired a new director for our student ministries. His name is Ryan Shibley. Ryan, his wife Connie, and his kids Robert and Shania, they're going to be joining Good Shepherd. Speaking from experience, it's not easy to bring your family into a big church like Good Shepherd. There are lots of people, and we don't even know where to start. So how about all of us take the first step to reach out to the Shively family, to let them know that we're glad that they're going to be with us, that we're praying for their ministry, that we're here to help in any way that we can. Another welcome opportunity is with our new member luncheon. If you've never been a part of this, this is such a neat way to connect with our newest members, to make them feel loved and welcomed as a part of our community of faith. And then finally, there are opportunities in the Prayer and Action Guide for us to work together to help care for those in need and to spread the good news. There are opportunities to serve with Vacation Bible School, with Feed My Starving Children, with our upcoming Honduras mission team, just to name a few. And these are all opportunities for us to experience the divine community of love and share that with others. One closing story, one of our Fusion leaders shared a touching story with me. He works with a student that doesn't speak, a special needs student, doesn't speak, just kind of sits back as a silent observer. And the other day, he was singing songs to his student, songs like Jesus Loves Me. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this student turns and gives him the biggest bear hug. He said just tears were streaming down his face. He felt so much love in that moment. I believe that God, the Trinity, wants to give you a big God hug and bring you into God's divine community of love. And God wants to use your arms, your hands, your feet to share that God hug with the world. It's the same Trinity that created us for loving relationship that's on this mission to save us so that all people, once again, can be part of God's divine community of love. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I would invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you have your sheet, put your name and your email, and I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, put it in the offering basket. If you want to use your camera phone, you can scan the code at the top and do it all from your phone. I'm going to give you a few moments, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we pray to you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You created us to be in loving relationship with you and with others. God, we confess the ways in which we have rejected your vision and fractured our relationships with you, with others, with ourselves. We give you thanks that you are on a mission to save us so that all of us can once again experience life in the divine community of love. And God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's not yet entered into a relationship with you, God, I pray that they would make today, June 11th, their day to believe in you, to receive your salvation, and to become a part of your triune family. God, we bring our brokenness and our longings before you, asking that you would transform our relationships and engage us in Trinity living, so that Good Shepherd might always be a church that would reach and transform spiritually distracted people, so we all love and serve God. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.